Without much ado tonight, if you have your Bibles, we're going to go and look at some good things in the Bible. Praise God. How many of you remember what Pastor Victor was preaching about on Sunday? The principles of what? Movement. Okay. And expansion. The principles of movement and expansion. I'm going to be talking today about the value of diligence and expansion. The value of diligence. The value of diligence. Or the importance of diligence and expansion. The Lord says this is our year of expansion, right? Church, are we together? Oh, you want me to go? Pastor, I can be gone for a long time. Pastor Peter and Pastor Victor can take good care of you all. You know, sometimes you all pray that I go so that you'll have shorter services. So you have shorter services. Amen. I'm here. Praise the Lord. Amen. So yeah, let's talk, let's respond. The value of diligence. Amen. The value of diligence. Let's turn our Bibles. If you have one and you love it, let's go to the book of Proverbs chapter 21. Proverbs chapter 21. This is our year of expansion. And the month of March will be, you know, launching a new series to help navigate, chart the course, and we will be helping you walk through things. Well, thank God we're done with prayers. What I mean by done with prayers, we're done with 40 days of prayers. I hope you're still praying on Wednesdays. Intensifying today. Fasting, not feasting. Every Wednesday of 2024 is a day of spiritual intensity. You know what it means to be to intensify? It's like you are shining the torch. Hallelujah. Some of you are just like, you know, Pastor Blaise just said it. Fast. This can't go not except by fasting and praying, or pray and fasting. Who said that? Jesus. Hallelujah. If you remain the same, if you don't do something different, you won't get different experiences. You will not get a different level of expansion. You'll get regular expansion. Hallelujah. Proverbs 21, talk about the value of diligence. Proverbs chapter 21, and we would look at verse number 5. Oh, well, we can begin from verse 1. You know, Proverbs is not in context. It's not. It's just, you know, wisdom, advice. So let's just begin from verse 1, then we'll go to verse 5. It says, the king's heart, and the reason I said that is because the media team already had it up. The king's heart is in the Lord's hand. Or is in the hand of the Lord. Like the rivers of water, he turns it wherever he wishes. The king's heart is in the hands of the Lord. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for your word. Your word is true. As we look into perfect law of liberty tonight, open our eyes, flooded with light. Amen. So this verse, I wasn't planning on talking about it, but it's good. And as I was just looking at this, and as I just stumbled on it, as media team put it up, I'm like, okay, let's look at it. But where we are going to, we're going down to verse 5. But this is good because it ties right in. The king's heart is in the hands of the Lord. There's a value in diligence. There are things in your life that expansion, there are things in your life that are in the hands of other people, that are contingent on other people. Kings are decision makers, influencers. I'm not talking about the ones on social media, those who influence with their butts and with their chest. I'm not talking about those. I'm talking about people who their words carry power. Are you hearing me, somebody? When a king speaks, it becomes decree. The word of the king becomes law.
The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord, like the rivers of water. He turns it wherever he wishes. So God is able to turn things to your favor. Hallelujah. Turn decisions to your favor. But let's go on to verse 2, because we're going down to verse 5. I want to show you the value of diligence. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the heart. Every way of a man is what is right in his own heart. We're going somewhere with this. I love this. This passage, this Proverbs is good. If you remain blindsided, and live in your blind spots, you will always be right in your eyes, but you will not make progress. Verse 3, we're going somewhere. To do righteousness and justice is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. To do righteousness and justice is more acceptable than sacrifice. That explains itself. Verse 4, a haughty look, a proud heart, and a plowing of the wicked are sin. Verse 5. Oh, hallelujah. The plans of the diligent lead surely to plenty. The plans of the diligent lead surely to plenty, but those of everyone who is hasty surely to poverty. There are the principles of movement as it regards to expansion. But then you have to be diligent to know how to move, to know what kind of movements to take. Are you hearing me, somebody? You need to be diligent. You need to be diligent. So we're going to talk about some things, because understand this, the heart of the king is in the hands of God. God will move people's hearts. But if you're not diligent, when hearts are moved, you'll be nowhere to benefit from it. Oh, just making noise, some people. The plans of the diligent. So first of all, the diligent has a plan. Not a plan, has plans. When it comes to the year of expansion this year, the question is, how would you know that expansion has happened to you? What are your plans? What is your vision? Am I talking to somebody? Yes, sir. First, your vision has to be measurable. Your plans have to be measurable. Somebody can measure it. I want to become a billionaire this year. Now, billionaire is measurable. That's true. Because if you, I want to be rich this year. What does it mean to be rich? Somebody, being rich is very subjective, right? So, to somebody, being rich is having $1,000 over in the account. To another person right now, being rich is having $200. If you constantly have $500 in your account every day, every month, you're rich, right? At least right now, to where you are. And I'm not picking on you. It's a stage, it's a level in life. But for me, having $5,000 in my account every day is not rich. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So being rich is not measurable, because it is subjective. How do you know when you're rich? So the plans of the diligent lead surely to plenty. So they have plans that are measurable. Number one, plans are measurable. Tell your neighbor, measurable plans. Measurable. So set plans for yourself that are measurable. How would we know that you have expanded this year? Measurable. So you're not just making noise all over the place. Measurable. When it's measurable, I can hold you to it. You can hold me to it. Hallelujah. They are what measurable. Tell somebody measurable. Measurable. What are your measurable plans this year? The plans of the diligent lead surely to plenty. Because plans lead to plenty. If you don't have plans, have you heard this, what has been said commonly? Failure to plan is planning to fail. Failing to plan is a plan. You can be everywhere and nowhere. You can make a lot of movement and make no progress. Ask goats that are tied or cattle that are caged. You can make a lot of movement and make no progress. The plans of the diligence. So first, plans are measurable. Tell somebody measurable. Number two, they are attainable. 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 They are attainable. You are a person, you haven't been able to save, or you don't have consistently, you don't have $100 in your account consistently, so you are still in the tens. It's not a problem. That's a level. Or you are constantly dealing with negatives and overdrafts. They just wake up, I'm going to be a millionaire this year. That, is it possible? Yes. Is it easily attainable? So you will depend on miracles. Now hear me, miracles are not bad. Let Pastor Blaise tell you something. God did not create you and I to live on miracles. Said that in the church? Yes. God did not create you to live. I've just caused a problem now. Let's help fix it. First of all, what is a miracle? Miracle is an intervention in the natural order of things. Praise God. So when we talk about miracles in the Bible, we see Jesus walked on water was a miracle. He turned water to wine as a miracle. He raised the dead. It was a miracle. He gave sight to the blind. It was a miracle. He met the mute to speak. It was a miracle. He met those who were deaf to hear. It's a miracle. Praise God. Those are interventions, because normally the people who have eyes should see. So if we constantly have to be praying for you to see, there is a problem. Hallelujah. Now imagine we just started walking on water. Just begin to walk on. Jesus did not walk on water all the time. That's to show you that. And you know Jesus was hungry, right? But yet he could turn. How many times did you see he turned loaves into fish? Loaves into many. Several times in the Bible. In the Bible, it's recorded twice. Now, he might have done it more than twice, but it is recorded twice to show you that it is a miracle. It's an intervention. The natural order was that there will be enough for everybody to eat. That's why when he said, make these people, look at them. They are hungry. His disciples said to him, even if we gather all, we will not have enough to feed them. Because why? There is a natural order of gathering and sharing. Will I help you now? Okay. You're sitting here right now. Your body is a modern, it's a machine. You are breathing oxygen. It comes to your nostrils. Naturally, it goes to that of a dead person too. But you just can't breathe. So your organs are functioning properly. You know what would be a miracle? We'll start praying for you to breathe. God did not create you to live by miracles. Except you just want the ones where miracle money or miracle this, miracle favor. That's not what God created you to live by. See, people walk around with oxygen tanks. Those are modern miracles. They need it. Without it, they won't breathe normally. Do you want that? No. So God has endowed you. So your plans have to be attainable. One, measurable. Two, attainable. Or for somebody who's attainable, it's called achievable. It has to be realistic. You have not had a consistent $100 in your account all the time, and all of a sudden now you want to skip to start having $100,000. It's going to take a miracle for you to get there. For your average daily balance to be $100,000, it's going to take a miracle. And if it takes that miracle, for some people that miracle is that they win the lottery, right? Go ask a lot of the people who did win the lottery. it also takes a miracle to sustain what you got by miracle. So people win it and then they lose it. Oh, Pastor Blaise is teaching good. Teaching really good. So the diligent have plans that are measurable, plans that are attainable, and plans that can be Now, under this attainable, the plans can be attained in gradual progressions. You hear me, somebody? Let me give you, for instance, you want to get married. You have not taken good care of yourself. As a man, and you want to add another load. Now, thank God that we're in America, that, you know, if you have two people and they, you know, you're working, then okay, yes. But there are some people who believe that it's the responsibility of the man to take care of them. So you get a trophy wife, and then they come, want to get their nails done, their hair done, their lips done. And you've not been able to take care of your own hair. You're in trouble. Then on top of that, now two of you have not been able to figure yourselves well and everything. Then you now add children. Recipe for disaster. And this is where a lot of people get in the hole. The Bible says the plans of the diligent lead surely to plenty. Lead what? Surely to plenty. What does it mean to be to surely? Some people think surely is maybe. No, surely means without a shadow of doubt. Yes. Definitely to plenty. Definitely. The plans. The value of diligence. Diligence will make you plan. What is it you want to achieve? How can you get there? How? The plans of the diligent are measurable, they are attainable, and they also give a roadmap on how to get there. They are directive. They give you direction. Praise God. The diligent are not reactive to situations. They are proactive. Now, it doesn't mean that they cannot react. Because reaction is something, you can't stop it, right? If you're diligent as a driver on the road, you think how you drive. Now, occasionally somebody will interrupt and they will go, even with all your thinking, somebody may just cut in front of you. Now you react. But imagine if all you're driving is just reacting. You're in trouble. Let me give you one instance. It will help convict a lot of us today. When you leave and you're going back home, you think about it. Imagine you're driving to church, and this is you. You're driving coming from south to north. So going north means you're going this way. The street numbers are reducing. You're learning now your signs. You're coming from 31st going towards 21st. You're going north. You're driving north on Yale. You already know that the church is to your right. Then you are on your left lane. Then when you see the sign of the church, that's when you're like, oh, you're not proactive, you are reactive. Now, can that happen occasionally that maybe you were caught up in some things? Yes, occasionally. Somebody say occasionally. But it's not when you now are driving, the lanes are two. This lane is open, and you know you're going to be turning right, even if half a mile or 1 mile down the street. You remain in your left lane, just going. Then when you see the sign of the church, oh, you like, oh, then you start now getting angry. Why is this car not passing? Let him move. Wait. No, you're not diligent. You can cause disaster. You can cause an accident. You now become reactive. You now hold the traffic behind you. That's when you start signaling, if you signal at all. Then you get angry. The devil is a liar. You know, why are these people not doing this? Oh, this, I mean, no, they are not mean. You are not diligent. Am I speaking to somebody?
Yes, sir.
Now, when you're driving back home, you will know this message will help you. Now, occasionally, like I said, occasionally, you may be lost in some thought and you're going somewhere. So, occasionally, it can happen. But if it becomes that it's a pattern, it's a habit, it's a problem. You have to anticipate what is ahead of you. The plans of the diligent lead surely to plenty. This is a year of expansion. What will lead to your plenty, to your expansion this year, is plans and diligence. Now, let's define what diligence is. What is diligence? What is diligence? Or who is a diligent person? Remember, I talk about being proactive. Biblical diligence is basically the effort to do your part while keeping faith and reliance in God. The effort to do what? Your part. To do your part while keeping faith and reliance on God. What happened with some people is that everything is dependent on God. That's not a diligent person. In fact, it's just laziness to allow everything to be dependent on God. What's your plan? Oh, we give it all to God. God will do it. God is waiting for you to do it. Are we talking tonight, church? I hear somebody still wondering about this thing. Pastor, I don't agree with you about, you know, God did not make us to live by miracles. Being here is a miracle. Yes, it's a miracle. Go there, you'll see natural process in it. Hallelujah. Amen. Just think that, you know, we're miracles every day. Yeah, you're a miracle. Breathing is a miracle. Right? But imagine if God has to, every day we have to pray for you to breathe. Before you breathe, we'll pray. There's trouble. Trouble for you. Big trouble. Now, when there are people who cannot eat, so we pray for them to eat. That's, when they start eating, that's a miracle. It's an intervention to restore them back to what? The natural order of things. Hallelujah. There are people who cannot walk. We pray so that they are able to walk. Even unbelievers can walk. There are people who cannot drive. They have fear. We pray for them to be able to. That's a miracle. That finally you can drive without fear. You understand what I'm saying? So we're not trying to minimize the part of God here, but diligence basically is doing your effort, putting in the effort to do your part while having complete reliance and dependence on God. They're diligent, work hard. They do everything as if all depends on them. But they depend on God as if they have done nothing. Hallelujah. The plans of the diligent lead to surely to plenty. You want to see plenty this year? You want to expand this year? Expand like never before? First, have plans. What are your plans? Are they attainable? Are they measurable? Can we measure them? Can some other person look at this plan and tell you and look at it first? And evaluate it. Because if it's not measurable, then nobody can evaluate it. Can some other person look at it for you? If all your plans are abstract, they are here, they are everywhere. There's no plan. Because when you get there, you'll not even know.
plans of the diligent. Time doesn't permit me to show you a lot of things in Scripture. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 3. And this is where sometimes people are like, well, let's contrast this with Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3, verse number 5. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. So some people take this and then they contrast it with like, well, you know, I'm just trusting the Lord. It's true. Lean not on your own understanding. He did not say don't have an understanding. He says don't lean on your understanding. Don't depend on it. He did not say don't have an understanding. In fact, that very part of it acknowledges an understanding. He says trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your understanding. In other words, don't put all your weight. To lean means to put your weight. It means to commit all your weight on your understanding. And lean not on your understanding. Verse number 6. And you will see why it's important. It says, in all your ways. In all whose ways? God's ways. Your ways. So if you don't have ways, how do we evaluate? In all your ways, acknowledge him. And he shall direct. He will direct your paths. He would direct your paths. He would direct your paths. In all your ways, acknowledge him. And he shall direct your paths. What can God direct for you this year? If God is turning the heart of a king towards your direction, what will he help you this year? If you have no plans and God wants to bless you, how can he use people around you when there is no plan? Is this making sense to somebody? If you have a desire, you have a plan that is measurable, attainable, that gives you a sense of direction. Somebody, a king, can see you. They may not like you, but God can turn your heart to say, you know what? This is my daughter. This is my son. Has a direction. They are going this way. Will you just put your hand and help them? When the ways of a man pleases God, he makes even his enemies to dwell at peace with him. Hallelujah. Without those, you're making cyclical movements. You go in circles but make no progress. You can accomplish a lot of miles but not make forward progress. If you just keep walking around this room for the next 2 hours, you might cover over 10 miles. Just walk around this room. But you have not left the place where you are. Praise God. Let me read a few more Proverbs to you. And we will pray. We will pray. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's look at Proverbs 15. Oh, hold on, yeah. Just hold on, maybe Proverbs 22, verse. Proverbs 22, verse 29. Go to Proverbs 15. Proverbs 22, verse 29 says, do you see a man who excels? The King James says, who is diligent in his work? He will stand before
Seest thou a man diligent in his business, in his affairs? He shall stand before kings. Question, how will he get before kings? Remember the part we read, Proverbs chapter 21, verse 1, that the heart of the king is in the hands of the Lord. And like a river, he directs it how he wants. So when you are diligent, God begins to direct you to place of decision makers, of influencers, of people who will influence things to your favor, of people who will favor you. Hallelujah. Seest thou a man diligent in his business? He shall stand before kings. He shall not stand before mean men. Apply yourself this year. Make a choice. Make a decision. Be committed to your expansion. Be committed to your growth. Be committed to your progress. Don't leave everything to chance. Don't leave anything to chance. Hallelujah. Let me tell you, the Holy Spirit is already committed to do great things in your life. The Bible says, arise, shine, for your light has come. And the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. But you have to do your part. Your part is to arise. The Bible says, you are the light of the world. A city set upon a hill which cannot be hidden. It says, nor do they light a lamp and put it under the bushel, but they put it upon the city so that it can give light. You cannot sit there and just wait for God to do. God will do. God will not do for you what he has given you the ability to do. You didn't hear me. I said, God will not do for you what he has given you the ability to do. God will do for you what he has not given you the ability to do. My grace is made perfect in your weakness, in your limitations. When you have done your best, let God do the rest. Don't sit there with half-hearted things, and we can wait for the abstract. This is good. A diligent. Let's look at Proverbs 15. Proverbs 15, verse number 22, it says, without counsel, plans, okay, let me read that. Without counsel, purposes are disappointed, but in the multitude of counselors, they are established. Without counsel. Counsel doesn't come to you. Counsel doesn't, people who are not diligent don't seek counsel. They just expect. They expect. In fact, I don't even know what to expect. I don't know what to expect. Like I said, time doesn't permit me. I would have shown you in the Bible. Ecclesiastes says the labor of the fools weary them because they don't even know how to go to the city. So the labor, they work hard. It wearies them. Because they don't know. Don't know how. They don't know how. Don't waste your labor this year. Don't waste the opportunity this year that God has set for you. Hallelujah. Proverbs 16, verse 3. It says, commit your works. Commit your works to the Lord and your thoughts will be established. Commit your works to the Lord and your thoughts will be established. Commit what? Your works. Don't commit nothing to him. Your thoughts will be established. Don't bring an empty head. Give God something to work with this year. Be diligent to give God something to work with. What can God do for you? What can God enlarge for you? What can he expand in your life? What can he, this is a year of expansion. What can God expand? What can God, if you have plans, even if the plans are small, let him expand it. Am I talking to somebody this evening? Don't just live anyhow, or don't just exist. Live. Be like one who lives. Don't just exist. Commit your works to the Lord and your thoughts will be established. Your thoughts will be established. Commit your works to him and your thoughts will be established. Hallelujah. Your thoughts will be established. Want to see God establish your thoughts? Commit your works to him. Have something to commit to him this year. Let him have something to work with. And tonight I've shared with you these few things. And as we began in Proverbs 21, verse 5, he says, the plans of the diligent lead surely to plenty, but those of everyone who is hasty, surely to poverty, surely to disaster. You can read this like this. The plans of the diligent lead surely to success, but those of those who are hasty lead to failure, or lead to disaster. Those who are hasty are those who are reactive. Those who are hasty are those who they do not do what they are supposed to do at the time they're supposed to do. And all of a sudden, want it done now. That's what haste, being hasty means. Diligence. Give God something to work with. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And if we're diligent to commit something to God, to give God something to work with, we will experience God in another dimension. I said, we'll experience God in another dimension, in a level that is beyond our expectation. The Bible says, Ephesians 3:20 says, now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think, according to the power that is at work in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. To him who is able to do what? Exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. So he is able to do above what you can imagine, above what you can plan, above where your diligence can end. But at least give him something to work with. Yeah, he's a miracle working God. Let him do the miracle by exceeding your expectation. Imagine I set myself that this year, I want to be able to attain this, a measurable thing. And I know that's my ability, that's where I can do. I'm going to apply myself to it. Then God comes and do way above that. And I do. Are you hearing me, somebody? That's a miracle. That's a miracle now. Because what? By my strength, I could not have achieved or attained that level. But I had a plan. I want to provoke you tonight to expect more from yourself. To expect more from God by applying yourself to his plans. When you do the natural, the super comes to it. It becomes what? The supernatural. Hallelujah. Be diligent to show yourself. Be diligent to show yourself. That's what Paul was talking to Timothy about. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly. So let's come back to that part of miracle. Yeah, God is a miracle working God. He wants to amplify amplify us exponentially. He wants to bless you beyond imagination, beyond expectation. He wants to enlarge you, expand you beyond your wildest imagination. But you've got to bring something. Got to bring something. I'm not talking about bringing an offering. I'm not talking about bringing a seed. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm saying, let you be that reasonable sacrifice. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Bring something to God. Give him something to work with. Rise to your feet tonight as we pray and as we get ready to close. Hallelujah. Shabahata Rabadiyasha. Maybe you are a student. You say, Pastor, you know, I've never had an A, but I want to have an A this year. Now for you, that is expansion. So you expanded from C's to A's, to B's. You apply yourself to it. Or you say, I want to have a B from a C. As you apply yourself to it, you end up, you'll be surprised you end up with an A. But if you just start wishing and wishing, and you go and sit down, everywhere everybody is playing, you are playing. Everywhere people are listening to things, you're listening. Everywhere they are entertaining, influencers are influencing, you are watching and looking. You'll be surprised. You will go from a C to a D. Come on, lift up your voice tonight and begin to pray. Shabahata la rabado sebe. Lord, give me, Lord, your grace. Give me the grace for diligence, to diligently seek you. The Bible says God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Those who come to God must believe that he is. And that's the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Shabahata lebrekete bahata la baha zintoro bokota baya le rodo shabaha mentele rebekoto brahazita la baha. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Mandele rigo zuvra bakadesh kalabeda maka parado sobrehede la bahata larabom sodoboho ikanta la bahan serebea labra kotobo yodosho. Man senebe eko toloborodosa makata baya zuza baha sumba bahata ya baha celebrekere baha subrohoko sublerebeketa baha makata baya da shabahan telerebedokoto sabrahada. Come on, lift up your voice and ask God to help you in your plans, help you. Lord, help us. Oh God, give us vision. Lord, give us wisdom. Wisdom. Give us wisdom, Lord. Shanta. Makata yabaha. Imprede kotolomanta. Zabrakate yabahang zuguruboshka. Barade de shabahata labreki. Zibahata maradasha. Labrakate. Miracles happen when people do things. Miracles happen when people step out. Step out of your comfort zone. And let God do miracles. Let God work mightily in your life. Zarabadesha. Impregede Yabahata. Lagaban Zeboros Kambarade Jalabahanselebu. Zakatabaha. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We bless you, Father, tonight. Amen. I'll give you one last prayer point before we go into the communion tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Verse number 10, the Apostle Paul says this, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. By what? By the grace of God, I am what I am. When you read that, it sounds as if all that made Paul what he is the grace of God. And that's true. By the grace of God, I am what I am. He said, and his grace towards me was not in vain. Shabahataya. By the grace of God, I am what I am. I am a product of grace. He said, and his grace towards me was not in vain. Why was it not in vain? But I labored more abundantly than they all. And yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. me. So I made sure that I took advantage of grace and applied myself 100%. So the grace of God and, oh, hallelujah. By the grace of God. We're going to pray and say, Lord, give me the grace. Now, you're asking, the grace of God is already abundant for every one of us. His grace is sufficient for our weaknesses, right? And that word weaknesses can also be interpreted limitations. We're going to pray for the grace to labor. Ah, yeah. We're going to pray for the grace of what? To labor. I hear that somebody's spirit is now beginning to worry. Say, Pastor, one day of favor is more than 1,000 years of labor. That is true. I hear you. Let me give you a scripture. Say to the righteous, it shall be well with you. You shall eat the fruits of your labor. I was not born to labor because I'm favored. Say to the righteous, it shall be well with you. You will eat the fruits of your labor. You're no more grace than Apostle Paul. He said he labored more than Paul. Fruitful labor. It's not toil. Because toil is labor without fruit. Hallelujah. We're going to ask for the grace to labor in his grace. His grace is already available. Give me the grace to labor in that grace. Shabbaha. The grace to apply myself. Lift up your voice to me. I say, Father, in the name of Jesus, as I pray now, release upon me wisdom and the grace to know how, where, and when to apply myself for maximum impact this year. In the name of Jesus, come on, lift up your voice as you pray. Shabbaha. Come on, somebody, pray. Sabahata lereboche lakrabadi isabaha. Lord, give me wisdom. Open my eyes to see, Lord, the areas, Lord, to know where to apply myself this year, how to apply myself this year for maximum impact. Shabbaha. Under the auspices of your hands and your spirit, under the auspices of your grace, lirota interebekataya intadabara getabaha teregebeheta shilarabakatabaya improkotolorobodoboshaya sabarada katabaha tereyabakatelerebeheta makataya. Oh God, that your grace towards me will not be in vain this year. In the name of Jesus, Lord, open my eyes this year to know where to apply myself, to know how to apply myself, to know when to apply myself. Sakatabaha, Zirabahata. Somebody pray. Lakapayade Shabahata. Impregete Yabaha. Lord, open my eyes this year, Lord. Shabahata. Lirokotobaya. Itobrakatabaya de Bahata. Susia. Zappa, lepre, inka, super, lepre, shabakata. Open my eyes, Lord. Direct my paths. Lead me along the paths of righteousness. Direct my activities. Shatabaha, ikolorobosha, zabaha. As I trust you, Lord, for miracles. As I trust you for expansion. As I trust you for your grace towards me. Open my eyes. Somebody pray. His grace towards you will not be vain. Somebody pray. Zabakataya. Lord, open my eyes. Flood it with light. Susia. Thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. I know if we give prayer point now to bind the devils and to cast out, a lot of you will use vigor. But this is a prayer you pray. A person who is set, who is diligent, even the devil cannot stop them. Are you hearing me, somebody? I said, even the devil cannot stop them. The devil and all his cohorts will fail against one who is set, determined to apply themselves. Hallelujah. And I pray for you that the wisdom of God will abound towards you. That God will open your eyes this year. He will direct your path this year. In the name of Jesus. Can I hear your believing amen? I said God will direct your path this year. He will lead you along the path of righteousness. He will prepare tables for you even in the presence of your enemies. In the name of Jesus. Your labors will not fail. Your labor will yield fruit. You will eat of the good of the land. In the name of Jesus Christ, God will give you plenty of grain. He will sustain you by day. In the name of Jesus Christ, you will not lack any good thing. In the name of Jesus Christ, He will turn the hearts of kings to your direction. He will turn the heart of decision makers to your favor this year. In the name of Jesus, as you take steps, as you take steps this year, He will enlarge you. He will expand you to the left, to the right, to the front and to the back, to the north and to the south. In the name of Jesus Christ, so shall it be for you. Amen. Will the ushers go ahead and serve the communion tonight? One of the prayer points you will pray this year is, Lord, give me ideas. Ideas. Kingdom ideas. Ideas. Kabaya. Ideas. Sit down for ideas. Sit down and plan. Ideas. God, open my eyes. Give me wisdom. In fact, the communion. The Bible says Jesus was with some people who were. Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. Sorry, I'm going to read a little lengthy, not as long, but I just want to show you because I'll read this and we'll bless the communion. We'll go there. But by this communion tonight, your eyes will be opened to the things that needs to be opened. The Bible says they have eyes, but they don't see. It is not that the optical nerves are not seeing. They are not working. They are working, but they lack vision. In fact, the Bible says, another thing says, seeing, they see, but they cannot see. Looking, they see, but they can't see. So you are seeing, but you can't see. Luke chapter 24, let me just begin from verse number 13. It says, now behold, two of them were traveling the same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem. And as they talked together with all these things, which had happened, so it was while they conversed and reasoned that Jesus himself drew near and went with them, but their eyes were restrained. So that they did not know him. Their eyes were what? Restrained. You will not be around opportunities here and not see it. I pray that every restraint on your eyes will be taken. In the name of Jesus Christ. But their eyes were restrained. Verse 17. And he said to them, what kind of conversation is this? Now you have one another as you walk and are sad. Then the one whose name was Cleopas answered and said to him, are you the only stranger in Jerusalem? And have you not known the things which happened there in these days? And he said to them, what things? So they said to him, the things concerning Jesus of Nazareth. They were with Jesus of Nazareth, but their eyes were restricted. So they were with the miracle worker, but they couldn't see the miracles. Because why? They were restrained. To the things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty indeed, and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and the rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we were hoping. You see what it is? They were doing what they were hoping. Some people are hoping, always hoping. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, beside all this, today is the third day since these things happened. I see what they say here. They say, yes. And certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb early astonished us when they did not find his body. They came saying that they also had seen the vision of angels who said he was alive. Even though these women astonished them, they still did not see. They were told plainly that he was alive. They still were sad. They were still living in different hope. Verse 24, and certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said. But him they did not see. So people went and confirmed. But even they could tell you, narrate the whole story to you and show you the opportunities, but they are not seeing it. Then he said to them, Jesus said to them, O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Then they drew near to the village where they were going, and he indicated that he would have gone further, but they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is towards evening and the day is far spent. And he went in to stay with them. Now it came to pass, as he sat at the table with them, that he took bread. You guys take your communion elements together. Let's go ahead and pray. That he took bread. And he blessed it. And he broke it. And he gave it to them. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your broken body. We thank you for this table as we come to it. Your body which is broken for us. And your blood which is shed for us. The blood of the new and the everlasting covenant which is shed for us. As we eat of this bread and drink of this cup, Lord, we appropriate the benefits of your death, your burial, and your resurrection now. Amen. Shall we go ahead and eat and drink? He says, and he took bread and blessed it, and he broke it and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they knew him. By this communion tonight, may God open your eyes in the name of Jesus. May you know what you ought to know this year. You will not be blinded to the plans of God for you. You will not be blinded to God's agenda for you this year. Every step of the way, you will know what to do in the name of Jesus. You will know how to go to the city. Your labor will not weary you in the name of Jesus Christ. You will work little and achieve much in the name of Jesus. You will not just walk strong and powerful. You will not just walk hard, but you will walk smarter, and you will attain much this year in the name of Jesus, because God will so amplify your efforts and magnify his grace in your life in the name of Jesus Christ. We give you glory, Lord. Amen.